It's truly a miracle that I'm even here today at all. If it wasn't for the mercy, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you know, and I'm sure there are many of us in here today that can say, I don't know where I would be today, if I would even be here on the planet. But it was the grace of God. And it's interesting that God sometimes chooses the least likely to do his work. People that maybe others would just say, well, isn't that, like they thought about Jesus, isn't that the carpenter's son? And yet he was the Son of God. But God chooses sometimes the foolish of the world, amen? And the least likely to succeed or whatever you want to label it, to do extraordinary things, because that way people will see that it can't be of that person. It's got to be God working through them. They will see the clay, you see, and man judges by outward appearance. Isn't it true? Sometimes it's appearance that, you know, we judge by, and yet God does an extraordinary work through someone who, by appearances, you wouldn't believe that to be true of. How many have ever misjudged somebody's character simply by appearance? I see that hand back there. And every hand should go up, right? Because we've all done that. We've all made assumptions about people based upon maybe the way they looked or they carried themselves. But God looks upon the heart. And I'm glad he looks upon the heart, at least most of the time. I'm really glad he looks upon the heart, because, you know, God doesn't patch us up. He changes us. He transforms us from the inside out, right? Christianity 101, right? You need to be born again. You need to become a new creation in Christ. And so you can't just add new to the old. You got to get rid of the old, and you got to live out of the new. And God gives you a new heart. You know, it's interesting that the title of today's message is The Right to Choose. And often when we hear that, it has political connotations, or, you know, it's about this political stance or that political stance. Well, I'm not necessarily going to be talking about abortion today. However, it is certainly something that people, you know, choose to do. And because God created us with an ability to create also, God created us with an ability, even as he has full liberty to choose to do what he wants. God has also given us that right, hasn't he? He's given mankind the ability to choose his own path, to choose his way. He's given us free will. I'm glad that I have liberty to choose. And if anybody tries to take away your liberty to choose, that's not God. There are consequences for choices. Are you with me? If you break the law, you can go to jail, right? So there are consequences for choices. There are good consequences, if that's the right word to use, for good choices. But we reap what we sow. And I'm glad that God has, you know, given us a freedom, because love is not something that you can force. Love is not something that you can command. You can command obedience. And a person may obey that command to obey. However, in their heart, they can be rebelling against you. Ever heard about the little boy who's, you know, he was sitting in the corner because he had done wrong in class, and he was sitting down in the corner, but on the inside, he was standing up. And you know, sometimes we're that way. We can put on the facade, we can put on the appearance that we're in compliance or in cooperation, or that we're even walking with God, and yet on the inside our hearts can be far from him. Has anybody ever experienced that before or met anybody like that? Don't look at your neighbor. Take a look at this one first, right? Yeah. So love is a choice. Hate is a choice. To obey is a choice. To disobey is a choice. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to those who made a choice to receive Christ, to them he gave the authority, the power to become the sons of God. God will never force his will on your will. God can allow situations to if you will, to influence, so that you will have second thoughts about the direction you're going. He'll allow things to happen in your life as a result, often, of the choices you make that will slap you in the face, hopefully, to wake you up to realize that, hey, I can't continue to live this way and expect different results. Love is something that is consensual. It is a choice. It is a choice of the will to love a person. I choose to love you. I want to love you. I desire fellowship with you. Father God loves His children, desires fellowship with us. It was out of love that God sent His only begotten Son. It is out of love that Jesus laid down His life for us. We have all broken the law of God. We've all fallen short. We've all sinned. God, in His mercy, He took the initiative. For God so loved the world that He gave. He made a choice. He made a choice to give up His best for us. And now God says the ball is in your court. The price for sin has been paid. The Lamb of God has been slain. The blood is on the altar. All things are ready. Now it is your choice to come to Me. The reason why people are in hell is because they chose to go there. Because they rejected the love of the truth that they might be saved. Truth is what's real. It's what's really real. It's reality. When we choose reality, then we're not going to be deceived. We're not going to choose, amen, a lie and believe a lie. You cannot walk in reality and in fantasy, amen, at the same time. Some people try to. Some people, literally, they live in a fantasy world. They live in a world, an atmosphere they create around themselves. They create a God to please themselves. God to me is like this, or He's like that. Or He's what I want Him to be, so He's going to look like this. And sometimes to the degree that they fashion a God out of something and bow down and worship it. But how many know that all began in the heart first? Idolatry begins in the heart. Where we refused to accept the truth, the reality of who God really is, and instead, because we don't want to accept that reality, we create our own reality. And we try to create a God that will suit us. And that's called idolatry. But folks, when we get to know who the true God is and the great love that God really has for us, how in love He is with us, when you begin to encounter Him and His grace and His goodness, you want Him, you desire Him, you want to worship. You want to draw near. You want to pray. You want to talk. You want to converse. You want to be with this God. Why? Because He's not like many of us have envisioned in our minds based upon our own experiences with authority growing up. Often we think God is like my dad or like this person or that person in my life. And if you have a godly father, thank God for that, because you've had a model. You've had some example of that. What God is like through godliness exhibited through your parents or your teachers or someone in your life that was an authority figure. But whether you've had that or not, God has revealed Himself through this word. Amen. God reveals who He really is. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, they thought that they knew God. Many did. They thought they knew God, especially the religious people. Amen. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they thought they knew God. They were the ones teaching about God. And God shows up and they didn't even recognize Him. The one that they were talking about, preaching about, shows up and they didn't know who it was. Because they had such a misconception of who God really is. Jesus said to Philip, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father also." for God. Love became a man. Amen? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, Moses is renewing the Sinai covenant with those who are now 40 to 60 years of age. And they were all under 20 at the time the covenant was first received at Sinai. And now he's given this call for the people to make a decision. And that there are two ways, life or death, God's blessing or a sure judgment. How many know that today God also gives you a choice? How many know that God wants to bless you? He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. And so he'll give you options. He will give you opportunity to cooperate with him, to agree with him, to do what he's showing you to do, to say what he's telling you to say, to pray what he's telling you to pray, to come into agreement with God. And when you agree with God, heaven comes to earth. The kingdom reign of God comes and he begins to reign in you and through you, amen, in the earth. You are an ambassador for Christ in him. Amen? Amen? Representing the kingdom government of heaven on the earth. So, in Deuteronomy 13, verse 15, I call heaven and earth, Moses is again reiterating the covenant, and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say, choose life.
Choose life.
That both you and your descendants might live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life. It's not things that you do. It's not stuff that you possess. It's he who is our life. And the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So God is saying, listen, let's come together. Let's agree on some things here. I created you. I'm a little smarter than you. Come on, he's much smarter than we are. And he knows what works. He knows what works for us. How many know God's ways do work?
Amen.
We've got to trust him. We've got to believe that God is true to his word. That God really means what he says. That this word is truth. It's reality. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
How many know that Jesus also called his disciples?
Yep.
He called his disciples to make the same decision. That was to follow his path. In Matthew 7:14, remember he said, you know, narrow is the way that leads to life, and there be few that find it. Again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I am the shepherd. Amen? The good shepherd. Jesus is the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall find what? Yeah. Refuge, rest. Pasture. We'll have a place where we can relax and rest. How many enjoyed that song this morning? My soul finds rest in God alone.
Yeah.
Isn't it God's purpose that he'd give his children rest?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have them around his table and say, just kick back, recline around the table with me. Amen. How many know that the Lord is actually pleasurable?
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay to be happy in church.
Yeah.
It's okay to smile. It's okay to enjoy the presence of the Lord. It's okay to rejoice before him. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to rejoice always.
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, now listen, it is true that there are those who will abuse the grace of God. But it is still by his grace. Are you with me?
Yes.
Anything that we receive that's good, it comes down from the Father. Amen?
Amen?
He's benevolent. He is good. He's gracious. He's loving. And he's good to all. He's good to people that aren't even looking for him.
Amen.
He was good to you before you knew him.
Right.
Or we're starting to get to know him. Because none of us can really say that in completion, can we? We're in a process of getting to know him. But it's true that there are those who will reject the grace, and there are also those who will receive it in vain, and they will abuse it in the sense that they will willfully reject the love of the truth. It's also true that there are those who will try to force others into obedience. Folks, I've been guilty of this before, because you want people so desperately to follow God and do the right thing that we try to scare them, intimidate them, manipulate them to do the right thing. And it's often with the right motive. You meant well by it, but how many know you won't produce the true fruit of righteousness by force or manipulation or control? You cannot control somebody. Amen. You cannot force someone to love God. You'll have what's called loveless obedience. You'll produce legalism. Amen. Where they're doing all the right things, living clean, living holy lives, but there's no love. If we lose Jesus in all this, folks, it's all for nothing. It doesn't matter. We can give our bodies to be burned, but if we have love, don't have love, it's for nothing. God is love. It's about Him. It's about knowing Him. It's about walking with Him. It's about His presence. About having a relationship of love with Him and knowing the joy of salvation in Him. Of knowing the peace of God. That passes all understanding. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. There's a place in God you can run to Him. Run into His arms. You can find counsel. Amen. You can find rest in Him. Yes. You'll find rest for your soul. But it's always going to be down to this one thing, folks. Who you will serve. Who you choose to obey. Who you will submit to, either yourself or to Christ. How many know that the way of self-will is the way of death? I'm talking about a will that will not submit to God's will. The Father gives you freedom of choice. The Father gives you all kinds of options every day. You can choose to do what you want with those options. Are you with me today? You can just choose to do the right thing, or you can choose to do your own thing. Sometimes your own thing is not a bad thing. Sometimes your own thing can be a good thing. But it's not the right thing because it's not God's thing for you. And those, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It's a matter of you and I walking with the Lord. Even in the beginning, Adam walked with the Lord. In the cool of the day, he had a relationship with the Father. Amen. You and I, through Christ, have been brought back in, brought nigh through the blood of Christ to the Father. So we can now walk in a new way, a new life. We're not under the bondage of do's and don'ts. We walk with Him in a relationship. And when you love somebody, you don't do the things that grieve them. Are you seeing that? You don't sin because it hurts His heart. When you love somebody and you know somebody's heart, you don't want to do those things that grieve them. And when you grieve the Spirit, you know it. You're like, oh, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And the Father says, come back, come back. Adam tried to run. God's saying, come back. Don't run from me, run to me. The Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. The Lord will forgive. The Lord wants to forgive. The Lord wants to blot out your sin. The Lord wants you to enjoy eternity with Him. The Lord wants you to walk with Him in this world right now, representing Him in His kingdom. I mean, no, it's not just about going to church, folks. This is important, but it's not all of it. It's that we might be equipped to do the work of the Lord wherever you may be planted. In the marketplace, in your assignment, in your work, in your home, in your family, in the schools, wherever you find yourself, that is your assignment. The purpose of ministry is to equip the saints for the work. Amen? So we've been given freedom to choose. And I just want to make mention of this too, folks. Because human beings in our natural state are fallen from God, you know, and we still have the freedom to choose, there's all kinds of evil. People blame God for the things that man does. How many know it was man that brought all this mess on us?
Yes. Amen.
And God gets blamed for it. God said, I've given you a freedom. I've given you a choice. You can choose. Choose life. Choose life instead. Why would you choose death? You have a choice. Why? Because without a choice, it wouldn't be love. It would be forced. Why were there two trees in the garden? I believe it was because God was giving us a choice. We'd love Him or we wouldn't. He doesn't want loveless obedience. He doesn't want us just doing it because I got to. If I don't, I'm going to hell. No, He wants a relationship with you. And He wants you to know Him. He wants to know Him to reveal His heart to you, to know the love of God that passes knowledge.
Amen.
Some people are so full of knowledge and the Word is wonderful, folks, but you've got to know the God, amen, of that Word.
Yes.
And if your knowledge and your gaining of knowledge just makes you puffed up, well, you've missed something. If it makes you proud, come on, the knowledge of God is given to us so that we might know Him. Are you with me? So we might know Him. That's what it's always been about, that we might know the God who loves us. If your knowledge of God doesn't lead to an encounter with God, amen? It's been in vain. That's the difference, folks, amen? Sometimes you can hear a message, it was well put together, but it was dead. If it doesn't have life, if it doesn't have love, let me just say this again, never allow anybody to control you. God Himself will not do that because He gave you freedom to choose, to want Him, to desire Him. He desires that you would desire Him. He wants you to want Him. Not just for soul insurance, amen, fire insurance. But it was from the very beginning He created us as the objects of His affection, of His love. He said, it is good.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Right.
That's my boy. And when Eve came around, it was even better. Amen?
Yes.
Now, I want to give you an example. First of all, we know that many innocent people suffer because of the choices, right, that others make. We suffer even sometimes because of the choices we make. Aren't you glad that God is merciful? That God forgives? He's not going to hold it against you. You may hold it against yourself, but He doesn't hold it against you, so get over it. Amen?
Amen.
If you confess it before God, He says it's done. It's over. I was just waiting for you to do that, to come clean. To forsake it, turn away from it. As soon as you made up your mind, you repented. It's over. Don't let the devil continue to beat you up over your past. Trust Jesus. Trust His Word. He says He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay. So what needs to happen here is, folks, the heart of man needs to change. If we want to see our society change, it's going to start with you and I. It's going to start with the individual heart. Amen. My heart changing. And as my heart changes, I begin to become an influencer. And I begin to influence others in a good way so that they will also, as I make my boast on my God and talk about how good He is, they say, man, I want to know that God too. When they see God blessing your life, they're going to say, man, I want in on this too. How many? I'm not talking about Rolls Royces today. Obviously. God blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, right? Just immeasurably above and beyond. When your heart has peace with God, you're rich. Amen? When you have family, when you have brothers and sisters in the Lord, you're rich. When you have true friends, that people you can trust and know are going to watch your back, you're rich. Amen?
Yes.
I remember hearing a story a while back on the East Coast here They were trying to help people who were in one of the ghettos. And so they decided that they're going to build an apartment complex. And they were going to bring all those people. They were going to condemn where they were at. And they were going to shift them all over into this new apartment complex. Brand new. And within a very, very short time, very, very short time, they completely trashed the new apartment complex. You see, it's a condition of the heart often, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's often the condition of what we're just used to being a part of. And you can't blame people for having, you know, the wrong types of models as they have grown up and role models. Are you here with me? What we need to do is we need to introduce them to someone that can really help them, that can change their heart, and then we can give them practical skills to help them, amen, to improve in life. Hello. God wants, I believe, all three parts of us, our body, our spirit, and our mind, amen?
Yes.
To be whole, to be well. I believe we need to take care of our bodies too, amen? I got half an amen there, but yeah. I'm working on it. I'm getting better at it. I was thinking about this back. How many have been through the back door here where the offices are at? Okay, a couple of you. How many have grabbed that guardrail going on the way up? Okay. Now, we had a little paint left over, okay? And when we painted this place, I'm looking at this guardrail, and it's completely rotted out. But in haste, you know, we decided, well, at least we can paint it and it'll look better. But if you go back there and you checked out that rail back there, that thing is really, it's completely punky. It's like styrofoam or something. So you don't want to put a lot of faith in that thing, but it looks pretty. But it has no substance to it, you know what I'm saying? Isn't that the way it is sometimes? You know, God delivers his people out of Egypt, if you will, out of bondage, out of the world. But then it's a process of getting Egypt out of us, right?
Yes.
And that doesn't always happen overnight. That doesn't happen overnight. He's still in the process, isn't he?
Yes.
But you see how it's really a condition of the heart. We can do all the right things and yet miss it. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, Moses here, he calls on the congregation at Moab to obey the commands of God, and he's setting forth God's promised blessings for obedience and his curses for disobedience. And so in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, not slothfully, but diligently, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." What does God want to do? He wants to bless them. "Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." So ultimately, it's not about just do's and don'ts. It's about listening to his voice. Are you hearing me? Does this apply to us today? Do we need to listen to his voice?
Yes.
And so then he begins to list out what these blessings and these curses are. And someone may say, well, that was the Old Testament. You know, that was then. We're living in the time of grace now. And so there are those who will indeed abuse the grace of God, and they will turn the grace of God into a license to do whatever their flesh tells them to do. How many know that you will reap what you sow? There are choices that lead to life and choices that lead to death. As a matter of fact, Galatians, it says that those who sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But those who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So it's a matter of who I'm going to obey, who I'm going to submit myself, who is my master. When I get up out of bed, I have to make a decision. Amen? Am I going to start my day? Am I going to give my day to God? Or am I just going to take off and do my own thing? And if I get in trouble, I'll call on God. How many know it's smarter to do it the other way around? How many know it's a good idea just to walk with Jesus throughout your day? Stay in the Word, stay in prayer. Now listen what the writer of Hebrews said. to the New Testament church. Would that include us?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But he said, but you, he's talking to the church, have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the saints of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Who's he talking to? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Folks, the only ones who are not going to be shaken are those who are grounded in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Those who have a walk with the Lord. Those who know Jesus.
Amen.
We need to be careful, because in the time when we think we stand, we're the most vulnerable. We need to understand that this battle that we're in is bigger than we are. You can't do it without Him.
Right.
You cannot overcome except by the power of God. And that's why we emphasize that God's people be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? That they worship in spirit. That they worship Him. That they walk in worship. Why? Because we need to be filled with the power of God. We don't have what it takes. We don't have enough smart to outsmart the devil. We don't have enough power to get the devil out of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Except through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter said this in verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, he's talking about that which is yet to come. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Has this happened yet? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Acts 17 and verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Who's that? Jesus. Amen. He is our Savior, but he is also the judge. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that there is an advocate with the Father? Father. Amen. There's a defense lawyer up there, hallelujah, representing us. And if we'll be honest with God and say, God, I've sinned. God, my heart is not right with you. God, I want to make it right today. Call upon the name of the Lord. Turn to Him. He waits for you just to say yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Choose this day. Make a choice who you're going to follow. Hallelujah. The day of riding the fence of the lukewarm spirit is over. Either you're going to go with God or you're going to be swept away with the flood.
Yes. Yes.
Folks, they were living in a time of apostasy, of a great falling away, and the enemy has released his hordes, and you can see it. There's a time like never before that I've experienced since I've been a believer. That the enemy is working overtime to destroy men's souls.
Yes. Yes.
And folks, we cannot be presumptuous. We cannot assume that we're okay except by the power of God. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
If you and I, the church, will return with all of our heart, not with lip service, not just paying God off, not appeasing God, but I mean really return to God and surrender our lives and say, Jesus, I'm no longer my own. From now on, I will serve you. I will follow you. I will give my life for you because you gave your life for me. How many know God is looking for those people? He's looking for those who will surrender and yield themselves that He might use you as a vessel to make the light shine in this world. Amen. To reach the lost. For this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. And God is calling. Will you hear? Will you respond? Will you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to fully give myself to you. No longer am I going to play games. I'm not going to play church. I want to be the church. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is clearly speaking to us, folks, today. We need to make that choice. Hallelujah. Paul's call here, as he was before King Agrippa, he was recounting to him his experience when he met Jesus. And he said, Jesus spoke to him in Acts 26 and verse 16, "But rise and stand on your feet, Paul, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things you have seen and of the things I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Wow, what a call. What a call. How many know that you're all called here today?
Yes.
You're called. Yes, you're called today. God is calling. Who will go? Who shall I send? Who will go for me?
Yes.
Are we willing to say yes, Jesus, today?
Yes.
And when we walk out that door today, are we saying, I'm now entering the mission field? Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord gave us the right to choose. We must make a decision to either receive or reject this word. Even this word you've heard this morning, folks. If you decide to do nothing today, let me tell you, you've already made a decision. You made a choice. If you decide not to surrender your life to Christ, that's the choice you make. God will not violate your will. He'll let you make your own decision. But let me just tell you this, that your own decision can get you in a lot of trouble.
Amen.
That's your own decision that is not given to God and submitted to His authority, run by His desk. Father, is this okay? Is it okay to make this purchase? Is it okay to go and do this today? How many of us are willing to run it by His desk? Because the way of self-will is not the way of life. If you're away from the Lord, if you're distant today, He's here waiting for you to return to Him. Hallelujah.